Happy New Year. Welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship on this very first Sunday in the year 2021. We would like to thank God at the very beginning of this service for his grace and compassion over our lives and for seeing us through the challenges of 2020. We pray, God, that this will be a better year for all of us. And as we come to worship him this morning, let us empty ourselves of ourselves so that God will do with us what he desires to do, using us for his own glory and for building his kingdom here on earth. So let us now listen to our call to worship.
Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made my sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your needs. Let us join together in our first hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart.
Let us pray. God of all time, help us to enter the new year quietly, thoughtful of who we are to ourselves and to others. mindful that our steps make an impact and our words carry power. May we walk gently. May we speak only after we have listened well. Creator of all life, help us enter the new year reverently, aware that you have endowed every creature and plant, every person and habitat with beauty and purpose. May we regard the world with tenderness. May we honor rather than destroy. Lover of all souls, help us enter the new year joyfully, willing to laugh and dance and dream, remembering our many gifts with thanks and looking forward to blessings yet to come. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, why do we sometimes make you so small? Why do we behave as if you are as petty as we can be? Why do we lapse into vengeance as the answer to wrongdoing? Your ways are not our ways. Teach us again your answer to sin and suffering. You don't get mad, you get merciful. You don't punish, you pardon. So don't let us for another moment go over our speech of self-recrimination or insult. Or to insult your grace with our groveling because you are not listening. Let us put down what we need, carry no longer, and loosen our hold on the hurts we have received. You know well our woundedness. You understand and accept our regret. Come close and tend to our pain and heal us, for we long to be whole. Extend your love to those we are finding hard to love, and set us free to love again. Through Christ our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name.
Reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 4, reading from verse 19 to 23. Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, 'This is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son.'" And our next reading is from Matthew chapter 2, reading verses 13 to 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Now let's join together in the next hymn, Love Came Down at Christmas.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the dawn of a new day and for the dawn of a new year. As we proclaim and meditate from your word this morning, we ask that you be present with us to heal and to transform and to empower us as we continue to live lives and do your will in the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the final eruption of Mount St. Helens in May of 1980 in the United States of America was not a sudden event. For 2 months prior to the massive blasts, the most deadly and destructive in American history, earthquakes and volcanic activity signaled a major event was underway. The authorities had plenty of time to warn those living nearby of the looming danger. Yet, despite the seriousness of the threat, some people chose to disregard the warnings. Probably the best known of those who refused to evacuate was Harry Randall Truman. The 83-year-old man was the owner and caretaker at the Mount St. Helens Lodge at Spirit Lake. He had survived the sinking of his troop ship by a German submarine off the coast of Ireland during World War I. And he was not going to leave just because scientists thought there was danger. Truman told reporters, "I don't have any idea whether it will blow, but I don't believe it to the point that I'm going to pack up." On May 18, 1980, Truman and his lodge were buried beneath 150 feet of mud and debris from the volcanic eruption. His body was never found. Dear friends, is it not foolish to recognize danger or temptation and think that we will somehow be exempt from the consequences if we linger? Even the Holy Family knew it was a good thing to escape danger when they saw it coming or were told one was evident. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape. There are many areas of life we need guidance and even vigilance. And if we believe Scripture's warning concerning temptations, for example, we will surely flee. The only real protection that we have is the approach taken by the Holy Family, and in another sense, by Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Genesis 39, verse 12. I suspect many of us can think of times when a warning of some sort might have been very beneficial. Just some inkling of what was about to happen that would have caused you to pause and reconsider your steps. Just a still small voice clearly guiding you in one direction over another. Just a simple advice from a friend or family member, or even a medical practitioner that might have saved us from so much trouble and tragedy and even grief. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape. That was an emergent dream to Joseph in which the Holy Family was told to get away as fast as they could because Herod was going to search for the child and kill him. They were warned of the nature of the impending danger, directed where to flee, and told of the exact time they should stay away. Later in the text, we read that Joseph was visited in a dream once again to tell him to return to Israel, but was warned to go to Nazareth to avoid Herod's son. However, getting to Egypt did not stop the executions back at home as Herod tried to find and kill the holy child. Our text this morning is reminiscent of the slaughter of male Hebrew infants in Egypt during the days of Pharaoh in Exodus 1, verse 22. And we see once again an evil leader destroying innocent lives because he wants to get to a particular child whose existence threatens his own security as a king. These events and the pain inflicted through Herod's attempt to destroy the infant Jesus are brought into sharp focus in the use of the Jeremiah texts, which elicits powerful images of mothers weeping for lost children. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Rachel was the favored wife of Jacob, who was the favored son of Isaac, who was the favored son of Abraham, the father of Judaism. Rachel and Jacob had two sons, Benjamin and Joseph, who would become two of the 12 tribes of Israel. Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin, and Jacob buried her in the city of Ramah, about 6 miles from Bethlehem. Many years later, in Jeremiah's day, Ramah was a place where the Babylonians gathered the Jews to deport them to captivity. And Jeremiah imagined Rachel weeping from her grave because her people were gone. In Matthew's story, Rachel weeps again with the mothers, weeping over their bleeding and dead young sons, and perhaps even their daughters, their husbands. My dear Christian friends, losing a child is hard enough, but having them slaughtered in front of you is unimaginable. It's a dark scene, and the image of Rachel weeping tears at our souls. The death of every child is an enormous tragedy, and in many countries, far too many children die because of causes we know could be prevented or avoided. Today, the highest child mortality rates are in sub-Saharan Africa, where we still have countries with child mortality rates greater than 10%. And this means that 1 out of 10 children born never reach their 5th birthday. Rachel wept for her children because there were no more. And God wept too because of the brutality of a reigning king who was obsessed with power. The story is not too different in our time. Surely, Rachel weeps when a president gasses and kills his own people. She weeps when ISIS decapitates known Muslims and slaughters thousands. And she weeps when Boko Haram fighters in northern Nigeria kill innocent children for ransom and kill many in the name of a religion. And Rachel weeps when presidents such as the one in Cameroon orders his soldiers to kill innocent civilians in the Anglophone part of the country in a bid to maintain his grip on power. How many mothers around the world grieve their children caught in trafficking, drug addiction, or abused or bullied? We know what it means to weep with Rachel, who will not be consoled because her children are no more. And many of us know the pain of losing a longtime husband or wife, sister or brother, father or mother, child or friend. The tears continue in every generation. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Can somebody hear that voice today lingering from far away or even around us? Or maybe it is your own voice that is crying out and you don't want to be comforted. Not just because you lost a child or somebody dear to you, but that there is something in your life which is missing, and you are weeping and refusing to be comforted for that reason. But is the problem you are having one which could have been avoided if you heeded some warning that came to you? When God realized that the child was in danger, he commanded Joseph to take his family away and seek refuge in Egypt. Here was a clear warning, and following that warning and command, the child was saved. God cannot always appear to all of us in dreams to warn us of impending danger, but God can speak through faithful people and experts who give advice based on practical realities, or through friends and family and other good people who know us and wish the best for us. In September 2019, the report, A World at Risk, was released by the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. The board is a joint initiative of the World Bank and World Health Organization. Its report laid out actions needed to prepare for a health emergency. The case for preparing was laid out in stark and detailed terms. There is a real threat of a rapidly moving, highly lethal pandemic of a respiratory pathogen killing 50 to 80 million people and wiping out nearly 5% of the world's economy. A global pandemic on that scale would be catastrophic, creating widespread havoc, instability, and insecurity. The world is not prepared. Its 48-page report was full of prescriptions and targets to be achieved by September 2020 in order to ramp up global preparedness. Arguably, the 2019 GPMB report was too recent to have been acted on and its deadlines for action too late for the pandemic. However, world leaders like Donald Trump ignored any warnings from experts. In the United Kingdom, as the warnings grew louder, the Prime Minister and his government were distracted by Brexit. And on testing, contact tracing, and equipment supply, there was a failure to prepare. I'm sure also that on our part, many of us did not strictly adhere to the social distancing measures and face masks prescriptions by the government to curb the spread of the virus. The result is the death in our own country of over 70,000 people. What if we promptly responded to the virus? And more personally, what if we were more careful with some of our eating and other habits that promote diseases in our bodies and make us unhealthy? Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape. The Holy Family was running away from opposition and destruction. And by God's grace and obedience to God's command, Jesus lived to fulfill his mission on earth. What I learn again is that opposition is inevitable and problems are inevitable as we go through life, but they will never, in the providence of God, be allowed to quench God's mission in our lives. There was every possibility of quenching the Messiah. His mother Mary might have been stoned as an adulteress. Christ might have been killed by Herod, who lost in Egypt. But no, God's hand was upon him. Opposition could not extinguish the light of God. What an encouragement this is to us as we begin a new year. Nothing can quench the light of God in our lives. Because God is present in times of distress in the voice guiding us, in sending us to safety, and in the healing of our pain. And even though we are often so frail and exposed, God would never allow us to sink despite the storms and the waves that broke us. Happy New Year. Let us pray. Most merciful and ever-living God, we thank you for your word this morning and for reminding us that we need to listen to the warnings that come to us at various stages in our journeys in life. Help us, O Father, to acknowledge your will in our lives, but to be careful with the things that happen around us, so that when we know them, when we are told, or when they are revealed to us, let us be more ready to take action and save ourselves from trouble. For this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hark, the herald angels sing. our next hymn.
Let us bring before God our prayers of dedication and intercession. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches and talents beyond measure. Through this offering and our service, we return a small fraction of all that we owe. Bless our offering today. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray, that it may be a great blessing to many. Amen. At the start of a new year, let us pray for the church, our world, and people everywhere and in every kind of need. And following the bidding, Lord, in your mercy, the response will be, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your most wonderful gift of all, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and pray that we in turn may discover our own gifts and use them according to your will to further your kingdom here on earth. We pray for your church across the world, in Scotland and here in Newport and Tay, for the many denominations who bear witness to your holy word. May people of faith learn to live in harmony and mutual respect, recognizing shared commonalities while celebrating unique differences. We pray that your body may grow together in unity and love, not compromising with worldly standards, but walking in spirit and truth, that we may all live a life that is pleasing to you in thought, in word, and deed. We pray for the newly emerging Presbytery of Fife and for all who are called to serve in its future management, ministry, and mission. We also pray for our North Fife cluster, with impending decisions to be made on its structure, resourcing, and ministry in the months to come. May this be the year when we keep our resolutions to be faithful in our Christian lives, to let our love shine forth, and to live less for ourselves and more for others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all in authority, that this may be the year when they demonstrate your wisdom and discernment, and show respect towards one another, working collaboratively for the benefit of all humankind. We pray for all in our governments, in Westminster and in Holyrood, as we sever ties with the European Union. Lord, may they use these negotiated freedoms wisely and competently to the benefit of all businesses, trade, and citizens alike. We pray that new democracies which have emerged or are still struggling to emerge may go forward in peace and fulfill the hopes and aspirations of their peoples. We pause to reflect on the ongoing and deepening conflicts throughout the world, in Syria and the Middle East, in Yemen and in the Cameroon, areas torn apart by racial or religious prejudice, hatred and violence, fueled by suspicion, jealousy and greed, and all ultimately leading to a worsening humanitarian crisis. God of peace and reconciliation, bring a lasting outcome to these conflicts. Instill in the warring leadership a greater awareness, an understanding of one another's needs, the benefits of resolution, compromise, and harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask your blessing on the victims of the Croatian earthquake, the Norwegian mudslide, those forced to flee from the forest and bushfires in India and Western Australia, the floods in Mindanao, and wherever in the world the forces of nature have conspired to threaten life. We pray for a lasting negotiated settlement on carbon emissions to alleviate the vagaries and impact on climate change. We pray for all who are displaced, without faith, hope, or love, for the homeless, the unemployed, those stressed by financial worry resulting from the closure of businesses during the 10 months of lockdown. Give them the strength and courage to carry on and bestow on them your grace and hope for a brighter and more certain future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of power and might, your broken world cries out for the continuing darkness of the pain, suffering, and uncertainty brought about by the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for those alone in hospital, residential care homes, or at home, scared, forlorn. Be present to all who need your loving touch, and may they feel your power of compassion and healing through the dutiful care of the medical staff who have selflessly worked on, despite the dangers of contamination and the risk of infection they themselves face. Take away the fear, anxiety, and feelings of isolation from people receiving treatment or under quarantine. Protect their families and friends, and bring comfort and peace to all who love them. For those who have been discharged, but still carry a lasting legacy from the virus, Lord, comfort them all, embrace them in your loving arms, and send them your continued healing and reassurance. And give us all a sense of purpose and fulfillment in pursuing self-distancing measures and protecting others from exposure to the disease, and encourage us to remain vigilant. Lord, we give thanks for our medical research scientists who have worked diligently to develop a vaccine, and we pray for its timely and effective distribution, both in our own land and throughout the poorer countries of this world. We pray for all those known to us who are currently ill and in special need of our prayers. And we remember them now in a moment of silence. We remember also those who have passed on to glory and who now reside with you in your eternal heavenly kingdom. We pray for all whose life has been saddened by the death of a loved one. Console them in their loneliness. Comfort them in their grief. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love and hope, renew in us a deeper sense of who we are in you. Help us to be aware of your presence each and every day of this new year. Make us instruments of your love and peace, so that our words, actions, and lives may be living examples of your forgiving, enriching, and life-giving love. Heavenly Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, O God, our help in ages past.
Thank you.
Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, Another Year is Dawning. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice this year and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.